The government has said it expects tents will be used to accommodate new arrivals from Ukraine, as well as some of those moving out of student accommodation this autumn. It's due to a significant shortfall in the number of available beds provided by the state. The department responsible for integration expects it'll have 900 spaces available in tented facilities and is in discussion with providers for more capacity if needed. A reduction in student accommodation available to Ukrainian refugees has also contributed to the shortfall. Places have not yet been found for all of the 3,100 people who are at the moment in student accommodation. Well, Emma Lane Spallin is National Coordinator for the Ukraine Civil Society Response Group, and she joins us in studio. A very good afternoon to you. Welcome to the News of One, Emma. I mean, this is something I'm sure that nobody would want to see. What did you make of it when you heard the news?
Well, tents are just simply not acceptable. They're not appropriate. And just before I came on the news, I was told that the department has said that children and women are going to be in these tents as well. And really, it's just unconscionable. I mean, especially from the Department of Children. You know, a childhood lasts a lifetime. And the Department of Children are effectively going to put traumatised children, putting them in tents. And it's just not acceptable.
What could or should the department have been doing to try to avoid this situation?
Well, I think it's the numbers have been known and they haven't shifted over the long term really significantly. And the war is ongoing. So we can't have expected anything other than this. And we knew that student accommodation was ending, and we know that we're in a housing crisis. So these are all knowns. I think the challenge is almost like the Department of Children has taken responsibility for short term accommodation, and we're not moving people on. The follow-on accommodation is not being done because the government did not put together the plan to do that. They've almost always treated this as a short-term emergency. And we're now 18 months in and we don't have a plan. We have no special unit across government coordinating and driving this. And we don't really have the capacity within the local authorities and others to actually do the construction and the rapid builds.
And people are still arriving in considerable numbers from Ukraine.
That's correct. I looked at the average over the last 15 weeks and it's 508 a week over the last 15 weeks. It has gone down over the last 3 weeks. But, you know, the war can take whatever turn it takes. Mm. You know, we can't predict that. But roughly speaking, we're looking at 2,000 a month.
I mean, it's not your job to come up with solutions to this, but what could the department, what could Roderick O'Gorman and perhaps other ministers as well, maybe that's one of the issues here, that there isn't a broader focus across government. What kind of solutions could they be looking at that are not being studied and examined and brought online?
So what I think is, I think they're on the right track. I think movement has been made, you know, the rapid builds, the modular, I mean, the renovations of old congregated institutions, they're the right solutions, but it's not with the level of urgency that's needed and the kind of ambition, the scale for what we're facing. You know, those decisions were made last November, and in total, that was for 10,000. Well, we have about 76,000 people now in the country, of which probably 65, growing to 70,000, need accommodation. And we've produced 10,000 in medium term. So we now have people living more than a year in short-term emergency accommodation. And we're talking about multi-generations of families, children. They can't be fed by their mother. They can't crawl. They can't study. It's just not what we want.
Given the situation we're in, and given the fact that it's not going to change in the immediate short term, presumably, I mean, should people be discouraged? Should Ukrainian people seeking a place of refuge be discouraged from coming to Ireland?
It's a really hard one because, you know, the people that are coming now are often the ones who had actually opted to stay at home. They were trying to stick it out, but things have got so bad that they've had to move on. So what do we do? Do we turn our back? I think we need to dig deeper. I mean, for the immediate crisis today, you know, I think we have to be asking everybody who's got a spare room or a spare house to either offer it to a student or to offer it to a refugee. We shouldn't have any spare capacity. Mm. And we need to really mind that. And I really think we have to be pushing the government on upping the urgency and developing a plan that actually meets the scale of the crisis. And let's just be honest about it, because I actually think we can do it, but I do think it requires a lot more flexibility and creativity.
In the meantime, though, are we back to appealing to people to host refugees in their own homes if they have a holiday home, perhaps, to make that available?
I think that's all we can do in the short term, because bringing on, you know, renovations and derelict properties, and that takes time.
Just in terms of numbers, we've talked about the numbers coming here. Are people returning home in any significant numbers?
Yeah, so you look at the numbers. So 95,000 people have been granted temporary protection, but the CSO suggests that about 17% have returned. are moved on. Mm. You know, they may have gone to America or wherever. So there is a movement of people. So that's why we get the figure of about 75,500 are probably still here today. So there is movement.
But there is, in some cases, some difficulty people have, Ukrainians here have, in securing a passport from the embassy here that will allow them to make that journey home if they want to.
Yeah, I mean, that is a problem that the Ukrainian embassy is very aware of, and the ambassador is, I think, trying to manage. But they only, I think, have one consular official who is mandated to do passports. And so that has created a huge backlog because, of course, many people would have arrived here without documentation. And it's also very hard for many Ukrainians who are living in rural Ireland to actually get up to Dublin in order to actually get those passports.